just want to say welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And we're in our second week of our series of holiness. Last week was holy by calling. This week is holy by pursuit. And so when we talk about holiness, let's look back to last Sunday. Last Sunday, we discovered that holiness does not begin with striving, but it begins, let me fix this. It does not begin with striving, but it begins with God. So the three that said, hey, I'm getting baptized today, I'm publicly declaring that pursuit of holiness, you're on it. It starts today. And we are holy by calling only because the Spirit sets us apart for His own. So when we say last week that holy by calling, it's because the Holy Spirit calls us to holiness. And holiness starts with two things, grace and identity. We understand what grace is, right? What about identity? Our identity then becomes one of Christ Jesus, because we are to become like Jesus. And so we share in that identity. We understand that we are sons and daughters of Jesus. But today, we're going to move to the other side of holiness. And we are not only holy by calling, but we are holy by our pursuit. And we talked about that just a little bit last week. But if calling tells you who you belong to, so if we are called, we know that we belong to the Lord. Pursuit reveals who you are becoming. So the grand question for everybody in here today is, who are you becoming? Who are you? See, calling is God choosing us. Pursuit is us choosing Him in return. It is the daily response to the Spirit's work in us. So our pursuit is our response every day to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And listen, I can't think of a better Sunday to talk about holy by pursuit than the Sunday that we just celebrated, three people being baptized. See, because we understand, first and foremost, that baptism doesn't save us, period. If you were under the understanding that baptism saves you, it doesn't. Baptism does not save us, but it boldly announces that we have now left the old life behind, and now we have stepped into the new life that Jesus Christ has called us to. It is a declaration of what we are doing in our life. And now listen, a lot of people are going to view it like a finish line. You are not holy when you come into relationship with Jesus. Holiness is a thing that we work through our entire lives. So don't think of holiness as a finish line. Rather, today, it is your starting line. Today, you start on your pursuit for holiness. What we saw in the water right just a few minutes ago is what the Spirit desires of all of us. And you know what that is? Not that we would just be baptized. What the Spirit desires all of us, not perfection, just pursuit. I don't have to be perfect before I come to the Lord. Would you understand and believe me if I said I'm still not perfect today? Now, who just laughed? If you have your Bible today, would you open it this morning? We're going to find our way into Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. And I was talking to somebody this week who was here last Sunday, and they just assumed that we were going to stay in 1 Peter, and they kept reading, and they talked about the conviction that every chapter brought. The more they read, the more they were convicted, the more that they were like, wow. And I said, well, just throw you a curveball, we're not in 1 Peter this week, we're going to find ourselves in Hebrews. And so we are in Hebrews chapter 12. It will be on the overhead if you don't have your Bible with you. But if you do, please find your way. Now, why do I ask everyone to open their Bible if I put it on the overhead? Here's why. I want everybody to learn and to memorize where scriptures are in their Bible. The more that I can get them to open their Bible, the more likely they're going to start taking it to work and open their Bible. The more that when they have an issue at home, they're going to find their way to open the Bible to what we talked about Sunday, because we are creating the expectation that we need to be in the Word of God. A let's jump in this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Now that is a whole lot and maybe a little weird if you've never read Hebrews or you don't understand who Esau is. But the writer of Hebrews is speaking to believers here who are starting to grow weary. Who's ever been weary in life? Come on, right? Everybody. We've all found ourselves being weary. They have endured hardship, after challenge, after challenge. And they find themselves in this position where if this is so hard, if these are the things that I have to continue to walk through, that temptation started to come in and they would start to loosen their grip on the desire to be faithful to the Lord and start to drift back into the old ways of life. Have we not all been there? Have we not all just, I'll just go back to living the way I used to because it was so much easier. I had so much less to care about. But Hebrews, the writer is saying, don't do this. Don't give up. See, the author is actually, or Hebrews 12 sits in a chapter about endurance. It's about discipline. It's about spiritual maturity. And he is speaking to the group that is getting weary. And listen, if you are weary in here this morning, receive this word from the Lord. In fact, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue on, Lord, I just pray for those that are hurting, broken, weary, downtrodden, Lord, that they would just be able to cast their cares all upon you this morning. Lord, that they would stay seated in their faith. Lord, that they would be renewed and encouraged in this place today. Father, may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the author is actually warning them that holiness is not something that happens by accident. How many good things in your life have come by accident? For all of you, okay, this will be fun. For all of you who love your spouse, raise your hand. Listen, every hand better be raised or we're going to have counseling tomorrow. How many of you fell in love with your spouse by accident? John? John, I open at 8:30 in the morning. We know it's a joke with John and Rochelle. We love them so much. But it's not just something that happens by accident. You don't just fall into holiness. The Christian life does not grow through drifting. What is drifting? Drifting is maybe I only open my Bibles on Sunday. Maybe I only take time to prayer when life is as hard as it's ever been because now I feel like I'm losing my grip on it. The Christian life does not grow through just drifting, through skating, just rolling through it. But it grows through deliberate pursuit. What are you pursuing this morning? What are you pursuing after this morning? See, the Hebrew writer, he gives us a clear command. You ready? Pursue peace. Pursue holiness. Watch your heart. Guard your community. Here's the last one. How many of you have seen somebody else do something stupid and you learn from their mistakes so you wouldn't do the same thing? How many of you learn from your own mistake and learn that you shouldn't do it again? He also writes and he says, learn from Esau, who lost the blessing because he valued the temporary over the holy. Where are you placing your value this morning? Is it over the temporary or is it for the holy? Which is it? This is a passage this morning that is of invitation, but it is also of one of warning. It's an invitation to pursue what pleases God, and it's a warning not to treat holiness lightly. And it speaks clearly to us today. We'll get to our first point here. Holiness is pursued with intention. Last week, you may remember the line, I do, because it's what spoke to me the most. Well, there's a couple lines that really got me, but the one that has come up in conversation this week is I said, we don't become holy without attention and intention. We have to put our attention to it, and we have to be intentional in order to pursue. So holiness is pursued with intention. Verse 14 gives us a very direct command. It says, strive for holiness. That word strive means to run after something on purpose. Nothing about it is casual. Nothing about it is, listen, when I was on the farm, I grew up on a farm, my grandparents raised pigs. There's nothing that makes the hair stand on the back of your neck worse than a hog that has its head stuck, and it is squealing for all life because it thinks it's going to just be there forever, right? Farmers, you understand what I'm saying? Anybody, how fast do you run to kick him in the snout and get him out of the fence that he put himself? Maybe you don't kick him, but, you know, sometimes you wish you could, right? There's a purpose. There's a reason why we're running. So are we running or is it casual? Do we casually pursue or do we run after something on purpose? And holiness, listen, if you need to write this down, write it down. Holiness does not grow in drifters. If you are drifting this morning, I'm sorry. Holiness will not grow. Holiness grows in those who pursue. Holiness grows in pursuers. Everybody has heard the statement, you are what you eat, right? I'm a Thanksgiving dinner before Thanksgiving. You know it's coming now. You become what you chase. Drifters don't grow in holiness. Pursuers grow in holiness. So some believers love Jesus. They love Jesus, but they pursue this idea of holiness with casual effort. It's not really something I need to pursue. It's not something that I need to go after. But the writer of Hebrews actually calls us to lean in, to strive, to run, to chase after God with all intention. And here's something that we need to understand. Who knows that while we are strong, we can also be weak. Our will gives out at some point, right? We give out because we don't have any more to go. This is not talking about striving in your own strength. This is talking about cooperating with the Spirit who empowers you for the pursuit. You understand what I just said? Let me repeat that. It is about cooperating with the Spirit who empowers the pursuit. The Holy Spirit encourages us and empowers us to continue to pursue holiness. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Paul pressed forward because he had already been claimed by Christ Jesus. And that is the exact picture of holiness that I need you to understand this morning. We pursue because he first pursued us. We pursue because he pursued us first. And baptism shows that. Everyone today who went into the water declared, I am not drifting anymore. I am following Jesus with my entire life. Do I sound like I need water? Bless your heart. My son knows how to give a hint. That is cold. That is good. Thank you. Holiness grows where God is pursued daily. Holiness grows where God is pursued daily. So if holiness is pursued with intention, then the next question becomes this. What keeps that pursuit steady? What keeps it steady? What sustains it when life gets hard and when temptation tries to pull us back into old patterns? What sustains us? And Hebrews moves from the call to pursue holiness to a warning and a reminder for the believers. It shows us that holy pursuit must be guarded with vigilance. We must be intentional about protecting it. And that's what leads us into our second truth this morning, is holiness requires guarding your heart. An unguarded heart is the easiest heart to capture. Think of it this way. Who has a dog that lives in the house? Who has a dog that'll steal your food off the plate if you're not paying attention? Who's ever experienced being at somebody's house and the dog stealing your food? If we don't guard our plate, the food disappears. If we don't guard our heart disappears. Holiness requires guarding your heart. See, right after calling us to pursue holiness, the Hebrew writer gives us a warning. You cannot pursue holiness if you do not guard your heart. You cannot pursue holiness if you do not guard your heart. And verse 15 describes a root of bitterness, that word root of bitterness. And here's what we need to understand. Roots, they grow quietly beneath the surface. If you've ever cut down a tree, you know how far and how wide and how deep those roots are. They grow quietly beneath the surface. And bitterness often begins with a hurt or a frustration that happens, and we never surrender it to the Lord. We say, I can handle it, Lord. I don't need you on this. But listen, and some of you, this may speak to you this morning. If it stays hidden, guess what? It shapes your attitude. It starts to have an impact on your attitude, and eventually it's going to poison your relationships. Guess what happens when your relationships are poisoned at home and you come to church on Sunday? By the way, that's not a call to not come on church. If you're walking through something, come to church because Jesus can make it all new. Amen, right? But if you don't deal with that poison, guess what happens when you bring it into the church? It starts to poison the whole body. So if you've got something that needs surrendered to the Lord, if you have something that needs dealt with, today is the day. Don't let it stay hidden. Because it will impact your attitude and it will impact your relationships. You're not strong enough to handle it on your own. Holiness cannot flourish in a heart that's holding on to what God is trying to heal. So if I have this hurt from years and years and years ago, and I say, I'm just going to hang on to it because, by golly, I want to hang on to this. I want something to be mad about. How can the Lord ever heal it if I'm not willing to say it's all yours? Guarding your heart means noticing what is growing in you. So maybe it's time today to stop and to have a little heart check and say, Lord, what has been growing in me? What has your week been like? Has it been terrible? What's growing in you right now? Is it bitter? Is it sour? Is it anger? Is it hurt? Are you maybe mad at somebody and they don't even know that you're mad at them? Is there unforgiveness that's taken part in your life? See, it's about being so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you know what things are growing in you. And what does that mean? That means as soon as we notice it, we deal with it. Who knows that when trees start growing in the spring, they shoot out new limbs that they try to grow. And if you don't want a limb, what do? Chop it off. Guess what? When you notice that bitterness, guess what you do? You chop it off. You deal with that sin. You deal with whatever it is. You take notice and you deal with sin early. It means every single time choosing forgiveness. It means every single time trusting in the Lord for all situations. And it means surrendering attitudes that pull you away from Jesus. If there's anger that everybody can see, guess what? It's going to pull you away from the Spirit of the Lord. So deal with it early. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." When you guard your heart, you protect what God is trying to grow. So by guarding our heart, we are creating a good atmosphere for the things that the Spirit is trying to grow in us. And what are we trying to grow into? To be more like Jesus. Every single day, to be more like our Savior. Holiness flourishes in a surrendered heart. If you want holiness to flourish in your life, you have to have a surrendered heart. So holiness this morning begins with intentional pursuit. It continues with guarding the places in your heart where sin can take root and cause destruction. But Hebrews isn't finished. The Hebrew writer isn't done. He moves from personal holiness to the seriousness of ignoring God's call. Holiness is not only pursued and protected, holiness must be valued. It must be valued. And that takes us to our final truth this morning. Holiness protects what God has given you. What does that mean? In the final verses, Hebrews points to Esau. If you know the story of Esau, he forfeited a spiritual blessing because he was hungry. How many of you have given up your spiritual blessing because you were hungry? How many of us have given something up because, fill in the blank, because we wanted the immediate and not the promise of the future? See, Esau, he forfeited it all because he failed to value what was holy. And see, his spiritual blessing was from God and it was holy. But he traded what was eternal for what was temporary. What trade-offs are you making in your life? Which do you value? Do you value the eternal or the temporary? Now, some would say that in a moment of impulse, we could make bad decisions. But learn from Esau, because one moment of impulse cost him what God intended for him. A moment of impulse affected the rest of his life. So that tells us that holiness must be protected. It must be strived for. And listen, here's what you also need to know. If you need some encouragement this morning, I'm going to give it to you. The enemy can't take away your holiness. Amen. Come on, right? How encouraging is that? The enemy can't take away our holiness, but guess what? We can give it to him. We can hand it over to him. We can say, "Here, I don't want this anymore." But you can also give it away through compromise after compromise after compromise after compromise after compromise. And all of a sudden, you don't even recognize the person in the mirror anymore because there's been too much compromise that has happened. You guard holiness by paying attention to what pulls you away from God. So this morning, as you're sitting here listening, if there's something in your life that is pulling you away from the goodness of God, what do we do with the trees that are growing limbs we don't want? Chop them. Get rid of it. Take it and get it out of your life. Esau shows it is possible to know the right thing, but to still choose the wrong thing, the lesser thing. Think back to when we were all innocent, perfect, well-behaved children. Anybody else? Just me? Sometimes we all knew the right thing to do, but we chose the lesser thing to do. We chose the wrong thing to do. See, when I was a kid, I had a problem. That was a great time for somebody to jump in. My dad and his wife at the time, I had four step-siblings until the youngest graduated, and then they separated, so no longer have step-siblings. But their grandparents would always send stuff for them to the house. While my grandparents had to give stuff to all the kids, that was a big contention in the house, is my grandparents wouldn't do everything for all the kids, and it became a whole issue that they had to start because that was fair. but the other grandparents never had to. So one time, their grandma sent them home some baked goods, a roll, a cookie. I snuck out in the living room one morning, and I took that little baggie, and I went and ate the roll and cookie, and I hid it in my sock drawer, and I played dumb when they got up, because who ate their bag? Well, nobody did. Now, let me just tell you, that decision cost me. What decisions are costing you? What decisions are costing you? Whose role are you eating on Thanksgiving Day? I'm trying to make light, but then there's a spiritual implication behind it. We know the right thing to do, but I said, nope, I want it to be fair, so I went and ate somebody else's and they didn't get it, because guess what? I couldn't give it back. See, it's possible to have a spiritual heritage without having spiritual hunger. It's possible to have spiritual heritage without that hunger. And when we lack discernment, I need you to listen. When we lack discernment, we trade what matters most for what matters now. We trade what matters most to what matters now. Now, we may not sell a birthright. I don't know that we have birthrights in that sense, but every day we are tempted to trade holiness. Listen, are you ready? We are tempted to trade holiness for convenience, for comfort, and for compromise every single day. Every single day. And this is why the Spirit convicts us. It's not to shame us. It's not to say, oh, you're bad, Rochelle. Shame on you. No, it's to bring warning into our life to say, hey, don't do that. Not good. Because he is trying to guard us and keep us close to the Father. So when you hear the Holy Spirit, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. What does that mean? Confidence without vigilance creates vulnerability. If you think you are untouchable, guess what? You have just become touchable. What does that mean? That means if I am so confident that I'll never step back into this sin, now all of a sudden I'm going to have temptation after temptation trying to pull me back in to that sin. Every single day we have to take notice. Holiness is strengthened when you guard your life with intention. Holiness is strengthened when you guard your life with intention. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I can't obtain holiness, that's only for pastors, you need to go back onto our website, EngageLife.Church, and you need to listen to last Sunday's sermon. We cover that. Holiness is not a theory to admire. It's not something that we admire from a distance and say, I'll never be able to have that. No, church, listen. It's a life that you've been called to embrace. For the three of you who were baptized this morning, you have now been called to embrace the life of holiness. The calling of God sets us apart from the things of the world. The pursuit of God shapes what we become. And who are we to become? Like Jesus. Every single day, we are to become more like Jesus. The warning of Scripture, it guards us from drifting. If you aren't reading your Bible, guess what the next pastoral thing I'm supposed to say is? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't like reading your Bible? Let's start simple. Do you have a phone? If you have a phone, hold it up. No, I'm serious. We're just going to do this right now. Go to your app store. I'm going to help everybody. And some of you are going to already have this on your phone, and you can't tell me the last time you opened it. Go to your app store and type in YouVersion Bible. Okay, David, you with me? Okay, look at that. David, he's setting the example here. It's going to look just like this one. Holy Bible, download that. Get it added to your phone right now. Here's why. because there are plans upon plans upon plans. If you don't know what's happening or you have a specific thing that you are walking through and you don't know where to find it on Scripture, go start one of the plans. You have access from your phone. Now, I will also submit that nothing replaces the hard copy. But we can also use this. Maybe you're not a good reader. Is anybody in here a great reader? See what I did there? I want the great. You can hit play, and you can let the Bible read it to you. See? Just like that. I thought somebody did that by accident. That's hilarious. That was impeccable timing. So the warning of Scripture guards us from drifting. So if you don't want to drift, guess what? Open your Bible. Get in the Word of God every single day. Now, holiness is not for perfect people. If you are perfect today, I'm sorry, holiness isn't for you. It's for a people who want Jesus more than anything else. So what do you desire today? What do you want more than anything else in your life? It is for the mom who is fighting to keep her thoughts pure. It is for the mom trying to keep chaos controlled in the house. It is for the student that is faced with, do I choose integrity or do I take the easy way out? It's for the man who feels like he's at the end. It's for the man that's resisting temptation when no one else is watching. It's for the man that thinks it doesn't matter what he's like at home versus what he's like in the public. It is for every believer who refuses to live on spiritual autopilot. If you know anything, there is no autopilot in this life. You're either progressing or going backwards. When you get rid of all thrust on an airplane, what happens? Right? You're either progressing or you're falling. So do not live on spiritual autopilot. Joel, if you want to make your way up. So the question this morning, it becomes quite personal. To every person in here, it becomes very personal. What direction is your life moving? What direction is your life on? Where are you going with your life in this moment? Are you pursuing Jesus with intention? Or have you just assumed that it's just a religion, it's just a thing I do, and actually what's happening is I'm drifting further away from the very person that I want to become more like? Where is it that your life is at right now? Which direction? See, holiness grows whenever we say yes to the Spirit of God. Holiness grows when we say no to the things that dull His presence in our life. When you use a kitchen knife and you hit it on your cutting board, guess what happens? It becomes a little duller. And every time we use that knife, what happens? It becomes so dull that the only thing it's good for is a butter knife. When a knife gets dull, what do? We sharpen it. How are you going to sharpen? How are you going to sharpen yourself today? See, this is why our church's mission matters. And it is, we are engaging our community for Jesus. It is a church that is walking towards holiness, to become a holy, powerful witness to the things of the Lord. When people see Christ, not only in our words, it's easy to talk, isn't it? What do they say? Talk is cheap. It's easy to have Jesus be in our words, but what if the community would start to see Jesus in our lives? Holiness is not an isolation. It's influence. So what influence do we want in this community? When we live set apart for the Lord, we display the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. If you would you stand to your feet this morning? Bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to take a moment just to talk to each of you. Maybe as you listen today, you realize that you're the one that's been trying to change yourself. What you've never actually done is surrendered it to the Lord. Real holiness begins when Christ makes you new. You cannot pursue holiness. You cannot pursue God without first belonging to Him. So my question this morning that I'm getting ready to ask you comes after our verse, Romans 10:9. And most of our people will know it, but it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, if there needs to be a confession, if there needs to be that declare that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, if you are ready this morning to surrender your life unto Jesus, would you raise your hand, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would surrender your life to the Lord, would you raise your hand and hold it up so I can see it? Praise the Lord. Who else? Come on. Praise the Lord. Who else? Praise the Lord. Come on. Keep your hand up so I can see it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. You guys can't see it, but I can. There are five hands raised today to say, I am giving my life to the Lord. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to say a prayer together. But here's what you need to understand. This prayer means nothing. This prayer means nothing. It is a heart condition. Where is your heart? How do you feel about it? We surrender to the Lord. We declare that He is the one that forgives us, that cleanses us, and makes us new. And then it's every decision that you do from here on out. Guess what? Your pursuit of holiness, it starts today. It starts right now. Would you join me and repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again. This morning, I surrender my sin, my past, and my future to You. Would You cleanse me? Would You make me new? Fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. I choose to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. I love this church. I love this church so much. Listen, for those of you who raised your hand, if you haven't previously given your life to the Lord, what you need to do is you need to tell somebody today. It's a requirement. It's biblical. Tell somebody that you are stepping into faith with the Lord. And for the rest of us here, I know it's 11:20. We had baptisms. There's grace. Today is a moment. It's a moment for each and every one of us here, even if you're a visitor. Listen, our church might be different than yours, and guess what? That's okay. Isn't our desire all to pursue Jesus more, to be more in His presence every single day? So maybe your church doesn't do this, but ours does, and let me just invite you to dive head first, because it's the things of the Lord that'll change our life, not religious practice and things that we do because we're told to. It's about submission to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Today is a moment for honest pursuit. Now, I'm not going to pressure you. I could, but I'm not. It's not about your performance. It is simply about your pursuit this morning. Some of us, some of you, have allowed drift to return into your life. You've allowed that autopilot to go on, and you are drifting yourself away from the Lord. This morning, maybe some of us are feeling that tug on our heart on something the Spirit's trying to get our attention on and saying, this morning you need to surrender it. Do not leave here without listening to the Spirit. If He is telling you to deal with it, guess what you need to do? Deal with it. Deal with it. Some of us, you might find yourself hungry this morning. This is invigorating, and I want a fresh closeness with the Lord that I've been missing. See, this is for everybody. Holiness is not about perfection, so get that out of your mind. Not one person is perfect. Not one. It is about direction. It is about choosing every day to pursue after the Lord. It is our pursuit after Jesus every single day. So if you hear the Spirit this morning, if He's highlighting something in your life that you need to deal with, respond. Do not wait. Do not wait for someone else to move first. At this time, the altars are open. Renewal always begins with a willing heart. If you have a willing heart today, would you step forward and would you come to the altar and start to pursue holiness? As the worship team plays, the altars are open. Come. Come. Don't wait. Respond to Him. Step. Take that step into pursuit. Listen, there is freedom on the other side of your yes this morning. Amen?